Good evening.
Good evening. How are
you? How are you? I'm good.
I'm doing okay.
Are you?
Yeah, my surgery is scheduled for Friday. Yeah.
And what are they doing in this surgery? There's nobody on the line yet.
Okay. They're gonna remove my transplanted kidney. Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay.
With hopes
and,
of that,
mm-hmm.
should be making the infections, should stop the infection.
Yeah. Mm,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, we praise God if that'll do what they said it'll do.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are the infections, how do they impact your body? So that's
right.
What keeps you getting sick? Is that what it does?
Yeah, it does. Because what's happening is, one, my bladder is tilted back some.
Mm-hmm.
And so the urine is going from my bladder emptying out into the kidney.
Mm.
And that's what keeps the kidney getting infected. Now, what they want to do first is they want to give me some contrast dye and see
mm-hmm.
if I have what do they call it? It's not an artery. It's I can't think of it right now, Jimmy, but see if there's one going from my bladder to my
kidney.
To my where you make your
urine,
your feces, my feces.
Okay.
They want to see if
the
there's a connection. To my colon to see if there's a connection there that's making me have so many infections also, because that'll allow my fecal matter to travel inside of my bladder also.
Mm.
So they want to do
wow.
that first. But they'll do that as they're going in. First, they have to install some coils in my kidney, the veins and the arteries to my kidney, to kind of slow the bleeding down, because they say it's a very bloody surgery. So
yeah. Are you in pain?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what causes the UTIs, which cause me pain.
Got it.
So
they
mm-hmm.
believe that the kidney is
right, because that's all. That's the
okay.
only thing. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Brother Tavon, how are you?
I'm blessed and well. How's everybody doing?
Good.
That's good.
We're good. I was just talking with my sister. And we were just discussing some things. She's going in for an operation shortly, so we want to make sure we keep her in
oh.
there. People have not joined yet. We've got a few minutes. How's your week going?
My week is going good.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a text. You know, we're supposed to have the men's group
men's
tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's been... Wow, I'm just watching this thing, right? So it's been looking as if it's going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple weeks back, I didn't attend because I was
mm-hmm.
in love with the weather. I don't know if you remember me sharing that in Bible study, but I was just
mm-hmm.
in love. Yeah. So I didn't go. I didn't go that week. And the pastor that put it together, he called me and he told me, he said that he wants to revise it. How he does it in the days. We were doing it bi-weekly. Now he wants to do it every week. And he said it's as if it's going downhill. I think we need to do it every week. And he said, I got a couple of complaints about Jesus' name being mentioned a little bit too much.
Wow.
And you know, I get it as far because it's not a it's a Bible based, but it's not like a Bible study. It's just a release for men to come release and get what they need to get off their chest. It's a good idea because a lot of men don't really have someone to vent to, you know, or just and you know, pressure bust pipe. So it's just something to come get some stuff off your chest if need be, or be a help to another brother that me, you know, maybe you can assist, and so you don't do something, you know, because you're overwhelmed or you've been holding this in. You know, it's a good thing. But when the pastor told me, and he didn't say it, but he made it kind of sound like he was willing to bend and give in and please him. So I kind of, I just shared my opinion. You know, I told him I'm learning a lot, Pastor. And one thing I know for sure is that the everything has to have a core, a foundation, how it works. The correct concept. That's what's wrong with us today. Most people, even believers, it's the wrong concept about in the whole way, the way God ordained the whole thing. It's the idea. So I know for a fact that the concept is Christ. If you want to live life right, the right way, see, it's a difference between good. Yeah, you had a good life. Right, the right life. The right life is Christ and no other way. So if you want to bend or fold and try to go around that, your teaching is vain and it is going to fold. If Christ is first, it'll last. It seemed like I was preaching to the pastor, you know. And but I said all that to say this. Yesterday or all last week, they were trying to set up a meeting because they wanted to change the day to Tuesday and do it every week. The meeting never happened. We got a group text thing. And I get the text and I respond. I'm trying to see what's going on. And it's just me. It's just me and the other guy that's sending out the text. So anyway, I got a text yesterday saying we're going to have a men's group today. We're not changing it to Tuesday yet. And I got a babysitter. You know, I have to, I'm a single dad.
You have you have things you have to do in order to facilitate it. And people forget that there's a lot of energy and effort that has to be gone into. For grown-ups that have a life, they have to do things to adjust.
Yes.
So they sort of kind of missed that whole point.
Right before I called in, I got the text saying that they canceled it after I paid this babysitter. You know, I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. They text and asked me to meet tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to make tomorrow. I have to work. I could make it, but I'm not going to make it. It's just messy. It's just messy. So that's what I'm at. But I'm having a good week. But that just kind of threw me for a spin.
Let's stay right there. Stay right there for a minute, Brother Tavon. Sister Hawanda Yaber, thank you for being here.
Greetings.
Praise the Lord. Good to hear your voice. Yep.
Yeah,
she said greetings. We might want to greet back.
Hello, how are you?
I'm sorry.
I'm
heard it too.
Everybody's doing great.
Hallelujah. So we were going back, and I'm gonna go back to you, Brother Waller, because that it's really interesting. Sister Hawanda, we just started talking, and he was sharing how They have this men's group, which I'm sure you're aware of because he's mentioned it many times. And he was saying how many of the people that are coming to the group are saying, do we have to talk about Jesus so much? That's ironic, right?
Ooh.
Because someone said the same thing to me one day when we were talking about the Thursday group, and it was brought up, you know, a lot of the people don't want to talk about Jesus or the Bible part. And I'm going, you know, I that can make sense for you all. It won't make sense for me, because at the core of every problem is the fact that we're not living by some principle that
Amen.
Jesus came to exemplify or God gave us. The core is always, and Brother Tavon brought that up, and I think that's spot on, Brother Tavon, because
yes.
Who wants to teach somebody how to be a better sinner?
Right.
Exactly.
You got eight women that you're sleeping with, man. Okay, here's what you ought to do, right?
Right.
No, brother, right. You're wrong, right? You're causing this, you're causing that. You got kids over here with this woman, kids over there. You don't see none of them, and you ain't taking care of none of them. How in the world am I going to give you some advice other than stop? Right?
Yeah.
Right? So I find that a bit ironic that somebody said it to me, and I told them, at the core of most of these problems is something they don't know about, what God is not pleased with, and it's creating more problems, and people want to figure out how to get around those problems. You can't get around them because you reap what you sowed. So how could anybody say to somebody, the fact that you ain't working and you ain't trying to find a job, but you're mad at the people telling you to move out. Here's what you have to go back to them and tell them this, right? How do you minister to something like that? Open question, everybody, and then we'll have prayer.
Okay. What I heard when you had said like they want to do it without God, the exactly what I heard was, I am the way.
That's right.
Everybody want to do it they way, but he said, I am the way, the truth.
Amen.
Come on.
Now we're talking about something. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm
and
sorry.
Then he said, I'm the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
And
folks want to live in lies and think that that's okay. And how do you uphold a lie even for their goodness sake? Right. I think that it even reminds me of what Paul said. Because in the beginning of Paul's ministry, right, in Acts, Paul makes this statement, I became all things to all men that I might win a few. Paul said that, I became all things to all men that I might win some over to Christ. By the time he gets to the end of that book and gets into the next book, which is Romans, he starts saying things like, and I'm no longer a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you shift down God, you're just pleasing people.
Right.
So you're just trying to make them feel better about what they're doing when what they're doing is so contrary to what they want.
Yeah.
And that's just an amazing thing. So that was well said, Sister Hawanda. Brother Savannah, let's open up in prayer. We're going to go ahead and move forward to slide 47. And again, the few that do are way greater than the many that don't. That's how I live my life. I ain't worried about how many. I'm worried about how serious.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, Brother Tavon, if you'll open us up, sir.
Certainly. Father, thank
Hallelujah.
You for this opportunity to unite with my brothers and sisters to learn more about your ways and your mind.
Yes.
Enlighten us, nourish us with understanding and revelation of your word on tonight.
Yeah.
So we go home tonight and meditate on what we received in our spirit this evening.
Yes.
I pray this in the Son's name, Jesus Christ, who we honor. In Jesus' name we pray this prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Brother DeJuan, God bless you, sir.
Never you guys too. Yes. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Brother Tavon, go ahead. You're in charge.
Hello.
Okay. So inconvenient tonight for me because I'm over at my house, but I'm at the house that I'm just moving into. I'm normally at the house I live in on Bible study. And because of my inconvenient going day, I don't have my Bible, so I'm going to read from my phone, which I don't really care for doing too much. Okay. But I think we're in chapter 13, right?
The beginning. 13, yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers.
Mm-hmm.
For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power?
Mm-hmm.
Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to expound on that? Do we understand what we just read?
Praise the Lord at all times, not all times, but whenever you're able to, you gotta be in the Bible and study and stuff, and don't and stuff like that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. About that, we definitely have to do that. Amen.
Yep. I'll chime in too. I think we had a little bit of this last week, family, as we were talking about this. I think we touched on those first two verses. And I use as an illustration that before I was saved, I wouldn't put on a seatbelt, and I got stopped a lot. I wouldn't go get insurance because, hey, who wants to pay for some insurance? I know how to drive. And when I did get stopped for not having on the seatbelt, I ended up with an insurance ticket too. And then ultimately they took my license because when you go to court without insurance, the judge says, get that, you can't drive without that insurance, so I'll take your license until you get the insurance. And so you sort of realize he's not saying that, Donald Trump and the police officer are God. He is saying, though, that God has given them a power that should be respected. And now when we talk about 2025, because I'm sure when this was written, people had a totally different mindset. Mm-hmm. They weren't out there power mongering and power crazy like we see today. And you might run into some police officers that are that shouldn't have a badge. In fact, if they didn't have a badge, they'd be in prison because they're criminals. They just criminals with a badge, and that's real. That's truth. But he's saying, if you want to avoid those powers, he didn't say that just subject yourself. He's saying stay out the way of those powers. And how do you stay out of the way of those powers? Is also written in this book too. As we go on, you'll find he says the laws for the lawless, the laws are written for the lawless. And if we keep the law, we avoid those powers. They want to come in, and unfortunately, some of them want to rule over you. They don't want to come in and protect you. They don't want to come in and take care of you because they're already predispositioned. I want to touch on that. I got to touch it. Many of them are predispositioned because right now, if you think about police officers in our community, so forth and so on, the majority of them are Caucasian, right? Majority. And unfortunately, Caucasian police officers have no point of reference for a black community. So they can walk into a circumstance where a man and a woman are arguing, whereas someone that has a point of reference might know all you got to do is say, oh, brother, come on, man, settle down. Let's step outside for a minute to come back in. A Caucasian police officer walks in there. He's under the assumption that everybody's a criminal.
Yes.
Right.
It's his assumption because it's been programmed into his thinking and his concepts. And so they go in there, now they're ready to shoot. They're ready to do a lot of things because they just assume as soon as I say something to this black man, he's going to snap out and he's going to come at me. So they're on their guards. And then that's the first part. Everybody got that? That's the first part. Second part of this scene, and when it comes down to some of these higher powers that were supposed to be treating us properly. Second thing you see is they also have a guilt complex because they know what's been done to your community. They know that you're walking around in poverty. They know they've never experienced any of the pain and the suffering and the demeaning and the diminishing that many of us have experienced. And they got a guilt complex, which automatically makes them scared. Guilt is a dangerous, dangerous thing to have inside of us. That's why God always asks us to give, to repent, right? To forgive. Because a lack of forgiveness also produces a whole lot of guilt. Even if somebody did something to you, that feeling sometimes we get when we get around them is not just coming from the fact that they did it and we're angry, but it's a guilt in us because nobody's ever gotten past this point. And that guilt begins to eat at and make you respond and react in ways that suddenly aren't godly. So that's my input on that, Brother Tavon. He's saying, really, whosoever therefore resisteth, part two, the power resists the ordinances. And the ordinances are, there is some guiding scripture to say, put your seatbelt on. Which one is that? It's the scripture that says, and we as believers must follow the law of the land.
That's right.
Right? So there's laws in this land that we as people, especially black people, sometimes go, ha, that ain't for me. Y'all ain't never seen me right nowhere. So I'm not doing nothing that they tell me to do. And it produces that power over us that we're trying to get rid of. So get rid of that power by submitting to the ordinance.
Yeah.
And we went. So that's what I received from it. Anybody else?
I agree with what you said, and basically the example of that is to just, like you said, if you wear your seatbelt, you won't get pulled over. If you get in car insurance, you won't, get a ticket or get your license took for doing that. If you don't litter, you know what I'm saying? Just basically follow the rules, and you'll be able to avoid the conflict of the oppressors or whoever that may be, the system.
Yes.
Be obedient.
To God.
That's
right. Yeah. There you go.
To God, that's the important part, because when you feel like you're being obedient to the system that's been persecuting you all your life, that's hard to do. But if you do it because God is saying it, then you've raised up above the system, and you're not really submitting to them. You're submitting to what your God asked you to do, and it becomes a lot easier to do.
Right.
Praise the Lord. It's easier to do when you know I'm doing it for God. I ain't doing it because they told me. Yeah. Right? So you don't care about me. I'm doing it because God told me to do. He does care about me.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, your reward will come from It's not going to come from them because you actually doing what he explained you to do, even when it may seem unlawful or, not right or just.
Well said. Well said. Anybody else before he moves on? No, praise the Lord. Go ahead, Brother Tavon.
Okay. I'm going to ask, because this is so good because it's so right now, especially in my life, it's because, we shouldn't break the law of the land, because we will get in, it would be consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm going to ask that I switch the versions, because how this reads paints a picture that's, it helped me when I read it in the Amplified version. I saw a deeper way to look at it. I'm not going to expound on it yet, but I'm going to just read in the app.
if you can just follow me. I'm sorry, but
mm-hmm.
I think
yes, sir.
Come out a lot clearer.
And, okay.
Okay. So I'm gonna start again. I'm gonna read fast at verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God, granted by His permission and sanction. And those which exist have been put in place by God. Therefore, whoever resists government authority resists the ordinance of God.
Mm-hmm.
And those who have resisted it will bring judgment, civil penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So those who resist it will bring judgment, a civil penalty. That's in the courts here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
For civil authorities are not a source of fear for people of good behavior, but those who do evil. Do not want to be do you want to be unafraid of authority?
Mm-hmm.
Do what is good, receive approval and commendation.
Mm-hmm.
For he is God's servant to you for good. But if you do wrong, you should be. For he does not carry the executioner's sword for nothing. He is God's servant.
Mm-hmm.
An avenger who brings punishment on the wrongdoer.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, one must be subject to civil authorities, not only to escape the punishment that comes with wrongdoing, but also as a matter of principle, following what is right before God. Exactly what Pastor just said.
Mm-hmm.
For the same reason you pay taxes. For civil authorities are God's servants, devoting themselves to governance. Pay to all what is due. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to who customs. Respect to whom respect. Honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love and seek the best for one another.
Yeah.
Who unselfishly loves his neighbor has fulfilled the essence of the law. Relating to one's fellow man. The command is, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes, sir.
Love does no wrong to a neighbor. It never hurts anyone. Therefore, unselfish love is the fulfillment of law.
Mm.
Yes. Yes.
So
it's really simple. To me, let me speak for myself. It's really simple, but the world makes it hard.
Yeah,
but
they do.
Mm-hmm. I want to be righteous before God with a passion, it makes it easier. Why? Because I know the reward that comes from God.
Yes,
by applying these principles. And God only can reward. Man gives awards.
Yes, yes.
See, you've already been awarded once. And the warder that awarded you did it a long time ago. We lost it. Now we can be rewarded. No man can reward. Only award. So I'm looking forward to the rewards.
Yes.
Father. And that's,
yes,
that's what
thrills me.
Not to look good. You know, some people want to look at me. I'm go to church every week, and I'm in the choir, and I'll go to prayer group, and I look at me. But I'm learning to look at the result. And a lot of times I don't see a good result. of all that talking.
Mm-hmm.
So something's wrong. And I learned by dealing with my peers that most times this don't get down into our spirit. I don't think we really believe. It's a scripture that says disobedience is unbelief. So regardless of what someone says, I believe. But disobedience is unbelief. If I tell you, hey, follow me. I know where it's a river of money. Just money just flowing. You can get so much. Your kids will be straight. Come on, follow me. If you believe me, you're going to come. No question. If you want it, you're going to obey.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't believe me, you still might come just to see if I'm telling the truth. But if you believe me in your heart, no question you're going to follow me. That's how it is with the word to me.
Mm-hmm.
The heart is the most peaceful, that we're dealing with our own self. So we really don't genuinely know how to believe anymore because we just talk. We just talk. We don't take words for what they're worth. Reading the Bible words in my life. And I don't want to talk all night long, but anybody else get anything?
No, you're doing the right thing. Yeah, no, you're doing the right thing. I think you're spot on. And I'm going to go back to, if I may, I'm going to go back to the whole concept of, right, going against the policies that we have. You know, I remember being on welfare. I was getting a check from the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting from the government. And I was more often than not selling stuff, as probably some other people have, never realizing that I was really committing a crime.
Mm-hmm.
That took a mind. It wasn't. It was a portion given to me to do something with specifically with an ordinance behind it to do it. I'm even conscious of a lot of people today who will sit back and go to church and tell you, well, I just bought a whole lot of food stamps from somebody, not realizing that they're committing a crime because there's an ordinance against it, right? People who receive welfare, but then go, okay, I'm going to go get a job to support the welfare. They get a job knowing that they're supposed to report the job, but they won't report the job. In fact, they'll go get somebody with a social security number to work the job so that the job social security number never catches up with the welfare social security number and so forth. And we've never really seen that because we've been so in a survival mode, we have not learned to live.
That's right.
Learning to live becomes a matter of learning how to walk in faith and trust God to be the sole true provider in my life.
Yeah.
The sole and true provider in my life, that if I do it right, he rewards it. Whereas what the government gave me was, as Brother Tavon said, and my wife said it too a couple of days ago, is just an award. They awarded me certain. They awarded me the check and they awarded me the food stamp. I want to get out the award mentality and move over to the reward mentality. Because if I move into the reward mentality, it ain't got nothing to do with men. It's got anything to do with God. And whatever he rewards me with, no man can steal. No man can take.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Can't nobody do nothing about it because he did it and can't nobody stop it no more.
That's right.
You can't
That's
keep
right.
me from having a big house. You can't keep me from having a new car because they're now rewards and not awards. You ain't giving me nothing. God is moving on my behalf to bring me everything that he wants me to have. And so so even with that, and there are even people in church that won't get married because they're too afraid to get rid of the awards and move into the reward. because they won't get married because they say to themselves, well, if I marry this person, they're going to cut off my food stamps, they're going to cut off this.
Mm-hmm.
But
as Brother Tavon was saying,
that scripture, disobedience, it also says in the old old English, disobedience is unto witchcraft. It's saying that because of your lack of faith, you're under a spell.
That's true.
And if you get from under the spell by producing faith, you stay in this disobedient mentality because of the witchcraft that we've created in our own life, thinking that we have to outsmart life. And only God can outsmart life.
Yes, yes.
Only God can make a tree. Men can plant them and grow them. But if he hadn't made it in the first place, if he hadn't made it in the first place, there'd be no seed for the tree to be replanted someplace and grow a new tree. And if God don't plant it, you're running around trying to get it from some other folk ain't going to never do any good because it ain't coming from the original source. I'd rather have it come from the original source because then can't nobody take it. Obedience produces the reward. Disobedience, I love what you said, Brother Tavon, produces awards, right?
Right.
But obedience, it is the key to this. And it's hard to do. It really is because I think our natural senses, taste, touch, feel, see, smell, they produce so many areas of fear inside of us. They just do, right? I hear somebody saying, I'm going to leave you, and it goes into my ear, goes into my heart, and I'm scared they're going to leave me. However, if I knew who my God was, I would be clapping my hands and say, if you leaving, it's because God is moving you.
Moving.
And if God is moving you, making room for somebody to come in that's going to appreciate who I am. Just trying to hold on to somebody is the dumbest thing you can ever do with your life. I'm just trying to keep a good man. No, if he wants to go, let me give you a bus ticket. Get on out of here as fast as you can. Because if I try to hold on to you, what I'm doing to my spirit, man, is I'm saying to my spirit, man, I'm going to love somebody that don't love me. And your mind, and your spirit will reject that because he made you perfectly. And so even if I don't look like Denzel Washington, if I don't look like them folk, I'm still perfectly made. That's why I don't have to go and get a wig and put it on my head. Because as weird as my head looks, it's the one God gave me. I'm fine. If I were a woman, I wouldn't have to put on any eyelashes and mascara. Why? If you can't see me for me, all of the mascara in the world ain't gonna do no good. Because at the end of the night, I'm gonna take off the eyelashes and the mascara, and all that's left is me.
Yes, come on. Woo. Awesome. Glory.
All that's left is me. So I might as well get happy with me and the God that's in me and move. I think I've said too much now.
Yeah, that's good.
Go ahead, brother.
Speak.
We were verse 8. I need my reading glasses. Okay. Except love.
Where are you at? Which verse?
Oh, I'm in verse 11.
You should be at 10 or 11.
Right. 10. Try to follow me. I know you're probably in the King James, but try to follow me. If not, just listen to the words.
Mm-hmm.
Do this, knowing that this is a critical time. It is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency.
Mm.
Wow. I can't speak.
speak too much. I can't say enough how important it is to be spiritual. Without that, it is all in vain. All the prayers, all the fasting, all the feeding the poor, it's an award. But no reward if you're not doing it from the spirit first.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Very important. All right, let me continue. It says it is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency. Mm-hmm. For our salvation is nearer to us now than we were first believed, than when we were first believed in Christ. The night, this present evil age, is almost gone. The day of Christ's return is almost here.
Mm-hmm.
Let us fling away the works of darkness and put on the full armor of light.
Let us
conduct ourselves properly and honorably as in the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
Not rousing and drunkenness and not in sexual promiscuity and irresponsibility, not in quarreling and jealousy, but clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yes, no, amen.
Or nor even think about gratifying the flesh in regard to its improper desires. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wow. All right, let's dig in. Let God, everybody dig in. Let me say this before we dig in. Remember how we say we rise to the spirit of Christ that lives in us?
Yes.
Yeah, you should know that. You should learn that. I arise to the spirit of Christ that lives in me, because if you don't, the spirit of the world is going to get all over you.
Mm-hmm.
It can make you sad. It can make you discouraged. And a lot of times you can hear it. I can, at least, even in the way people are speaking, because their enthusiasm has been just snatched by Satan.
Oh,
it gets snatched by Satan, right?
Yeah.
And it's our responsibility not to let Satan snatch the light out of us. I've never seen darkness overpower light. I have seen light overpower darkness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in a 1,000-foot tunnel, dark, like a match, and no matter where you are in that tunnel, you'll see that match.
Mm-hmm.
A little light will dispel a whole lot of darkness. And so even when you're down, even when you feel like, oh, it's been a rough kind of a day, you have to, that light is in you. And if you allow yourself to produce, then that's the only way to overcome that darkness, because it's all around. It's everywhere. Brother Tavon is talking about Christ is coming soon, and I agree. He's, in fact, even turned the corner. He already left the station. And we have to stay in that light. Because the Bible says he comes like a thief in the night. I don't want to be caught in the dark.
Amen.
I don't. So I forgive quickly. You know, one of the things that you have to have as a sincere believer is you have to have an erasable memory.
Mm-hmm.
Not a short one, an erasable one. Because you have to look at certain things through your day and know, I need to erase that. You got too much power over me right now. I need to erase it. I mean, erase so I can get to the better memories of my day. Because I learned something, and I've learned to never say I had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of my mouth, I just extended what really was just a bad moment in a day.
Amen.
Come on, come on, come on.
Glory. I extended the moment and turned it into a day with my own words. I had a bad moment, but I also had some good moments. If I got up and ate this morning and the food stayed out, that was a good moment. And if I got up and even had some food, that was a good moment. If I had people to say something kind to me today, that was a good moment. So it can't be a bad day. It has to have been a bad moment in a day. And the longer I continue to accept that bad moment, I can turn it into a bad day. But that's me doing it. The circumstance is the moment. Praise the Lord. So rise to the light that's inside of you. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to be here in 15 minutes or 15 years. But we do know that the moment I do have right now, I am going to be blessed and highly favored in it.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I choose to be blessed and highly favored in it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. One moment at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 microsecond sometimes at a time. That is real life.
That's right.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Let's dive into it. So any thoughts about the scriptures that we read and any revelation that you're receiving?
It brings me back. If somebody else wants to come back and wait, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It brings me back to verse 10, where it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Mm-hmm. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So I do rise to the spirit of Mashiach, which is Christ within me, because that's what it is. It's love. And that way we'll be able to look at every person, place, and thing from that perspective of love that will allow you to respect the authority or government or whatever it may be in whatever situation or circumstance it is, because sometimes we can't do it, and at no times we can't do it out of our own power and might and strength.
Well, yes, ma'am.
It takes for us to have that love, and then it's from a place of self first. When Pastor was saying, like, looking in the mirror and loving exactly who you are, without the makeup, without the lashes, without the weave, or the other, you know, the things that you may feel enhance you. So it starts with us loving ourselves first, and then we can display that love outwardly towards somebody else correctly, because that's where the part we're missing.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Brother Tavon, you wanted to say something?
Yes. So you were saying the light or a candle in the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
The tunnel dark, and you have that candle and it just gives off a light and you can see.
The way
that I look at life now is to speak. And I understand that the spirit realm has nothing physical in it. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it life in an invisible realm is what I ask myself. And I just imagine a space with nothing physical. And automatically that space was dark. And after I thought about it a long time later, I'm like, I wonder why the vision that I envisioned was dark when I was intentionally trying to imagine a space with nothing physical in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was automatically just a dark, nothing. Mm-hmm. And if we think about it, in Genesis, it says nothing about creating darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness is there. It's just there.
So you have to be something in order to create the life. Okay.
Yes. So in the spirit realm, God is light. So it's if God is not present, it's dark. You can't really. wherever you walk or try to move to, you stumble, jam your toe, trip over stuff, fumble, all the words that the Bible describes as a man that has not God, dead, blind, deaf, all those things is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So as we read in the Amplified Version, that last verse, but clothe yourself, now how do you clothe yourself? In a realm with nothing physical. First of all, I don't have a body. So what am I clothing? And what is the clothing? So this is how I think. Now I'm wondering, what is the clothing in an invisible realm? The Bible says to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for, nor even think about gratifying the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's why I ask myself all these questions. Okay, so in the invisible realm where it's nothing physical, they're still clothing.
Mm-hmm.
In the invisible realm, there's everything that's in the physical realm. It's a representation. Something corresponds with the two realms every time. So as I read the script, I'm in that vision where it's nothing physical. So it's the journey is to learn what these things represent.
Mm-hmm.
So a man in the physical is a tree in the spirit. It works the same way. That's why scriptures say that you know a man by the fruits they bear. So what kind of tree are you? What kind of fruit are you producing? That's how I read the scriptures. And people ask me questions about Jesus Christ. Oh, what do you mean, clothe yourself with Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
They don't understand it.
His character, his character.
Yes. They're carnal. So they're focused on the man Jesus. But it's Jesus the Christ. So Christ was there in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So the Father, God, conceived a thought or an idea. That's the correct term, conceived. So the Father, God, became pregnant with an idea. And it was to create. So the thought was the one that created. God is spirit that had a thought, that became pregnant with the thought. And then when he spoke the thought, he called the thought a word. So my Jehovah Witness buddy always want to argue with me about the Son of God is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Is you right? But he don't get the concept.
Nope.
They are one. Mm-hmm. God the Father was conceived with a thought. And he spoke what he thought and called it his word, his son. They are one. So this is how I look at the spirit realm and what the knowledge that I'm getting is spiritual. Jesus said, the words I speak our spirit in their life. Like you mentioned earlier, Jesus is the life.
Mm-hmm.
How can we not talk about him in a men's group?
Come on now. Come on.
And he's the truth. It is
now
the truth.
I want the truth.
Mm-hmm. We're so far away from what words mean, we don't know what truth means. Truth about what? Life.
Come on. Come on.
Which way to go? That way. Which way? He is the way.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Amen. Yeah.
There ain't no other way.
There ain't no other options. Any
we
other
tried
options.
Them, right? We see what happens when we
go
any way but
now
that
way. Part of the Bible says the only way to the Father is through Him.
Come on.
If we understood what that meant, who would argue to mention this guy's name in our meeting? So far away from the concept. When Pastor was speaking earlier, I was thinking in my head, I've said it a few times, but what I was thinking was, now this is gospel. You know how we make up lingo. That's my lingo. If somebody's saying something true, now that's gospel. What's that mean? The good news. That's good news. Jesus set us free, but we're still sitting in the jail cell, the prison cell, with the gate wide open.
That's what they want us to know.
Still sitting in the prison cell, and we're set free. But the Bible says, know the truth. And the truth will make you free.
Come on.
You already set free by the
words.
We believe we're set free, but are we made free by knowing the word and living the word and applying what we know?
It's the only truth. Come on.
Anyway, anybody else want to share? I'll go all night. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Anyone
hallelujah.
else?
Anyone else? Thank the Lord for everything. I've been through hardship of everything, but I'm still alive here every day, breathing, waking up, breathing. Thank the Lord until I wake up. Yep. So give me breath in my lungs and everything, and keep me mind straight and straight and narrow.
Hallelujah.
That's good. The best I can. Yeah.
That's so good. Brother DeJuan just said something so powerful, because in that invisible realm with no body, I have no body. I have to think to myself, what do I have in that realm if I, there's nothing physical, but I'm still there. But what's there? Just my thoughts. That's all I have, is my mind. I praise God and I thank Him because I still have my mind.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Most precious thing you could lose besides the Lord Himself. But if you have, you will never lose your mind. He came to set us free.
Yes,
why are we still oppressed? Why are we still worried? Why are we still sick? Why are we still free from what? Obviously something's not right. Concept is wrong. Or this man Jesus is not real. So when a person gets serious about it, those are the questions. Those are the questions I ask myself.
Yeah.
Like, guess what? Everything changed. I am a walking testimony. I don't worry about finances. I don't worry about no bill. My father is a king. I am a prince. And I know it. The most wealthy prince. I am the most wealthiest prince because my father gives me access to anything I want. Now, I'm serious. You know, this is not religion. This is not. This is what I tell my buddies when I'm talking to them. You don't believe that, do you? That's what I ask.
You think I'm just talking? Because that's what you guys do. That's why you own my mama and own everything. You got to prove you telling the truth, huh? Because you lie much. Or you're not necessarily lying. You're just talking. You're just saying something.
Come
you
on.
Don't have to say. It's a difference in having something to say and just saying something.
Come on.
Lord,
come on.
You know, a real king, doesn't talk much. Get this one. Real life, and even in the physical life, in the physical realm, a king doesn't speak much. Why? Because what a king says becomes law in his domain. So a king has to watch what he says. He doesn't just talk. Do you know we're supposed to just talk? Apostle, help me out. Who was the man that the Bible says that not a word that he spoke fell to the ground?
One of the prophets? You talking about the prophet?
Who was it? It was one of the prophets.
Yeah, I think it was Samuel. It might have even been before Samuel. And he said, when I speak, he said, my words don't drop to the ground. Glory to God.
What does that mean? Big. Wow. Everything he says comes to pass. That's the way God created everything. So we have to have that mentality and stop just throwing words around.
I'm trying to tell you.
Outside, it's cold as hell. I hear people say, it's cold as hell. Man, last I heard, hell was cold.
English words.
Yeah.
We need to stop just saying stuff because the power of the tongue is life or it's death. Nothing was created until God spoke.
That's right.
The pastor was talking about what he said was a seed. But we create the same way God creates. We plant the seed and watch it grow. But what are we planting if we don't know the Lord? Most times we're planting things that's going to produce bad fruit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we can continue on. Chapter 15, nothing else.
Before you go there, 1 Samuel 3:19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. 1 Samuel 3:19.
The Lord is with you. Lord, indeed, truly with you, and you're with the Lord. Nothing you say should fall to the ground. It should go up to the Father. And the Father says, nothing I say shall come back to me void. So that means we should be saying what God said. And it won't fall to the ground.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me just share something with y'all because I received something in that part of the message about just words, period. My son is at a place. He spoke a little day before yesterday, and then yesterday I did a video visit and he stopped speaking again, but you just encouraged me in his silence and me receiving revelation. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that I'm more comfortable in his silence because it is nothing but y'all working on the inside as he be transformed by the renewing of his mind because his words do have powerful. While he's in that state of mind, the right words weren't coming out. So I'm okay and comfortable in his silence until when he's allowed to speak, that there will be powerful things that will come out of his mouth. So I just had to share that I'm okay with his silence. And it was nothing but confirmation that, you know, y'all showing me that I'm not going to stop him from speaking because he spoke and he's concerned about himself, but he's gone back into a silent place. And I'm okay with his silence because I know that he's being transformed by the renewing of his mind first, so he can be mindful about the things that he's going to say when he starts to speak again.
Does anyone know the story of John the Baptist's birth and what happened with his dad, Zachariah?
Yes.
And they told Zacharias, the angel told Zacharias to name him John, and Zacharias said, ain't nobody in my family named John.
Right.
And the angel said that I'll shut you up until you confess the right words.
Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. And I can praise him in his praise, Yah, in his silence.
Amen.
Not look at it as a bad thing. I'm telling you, hallelujah, Holy Spirit is intelligent. And I give him all the glory, honor, and praise that I am encouraged in his silence. Hallelujah.
You know, and I want to share too on tonight's topic. I don't know what we would call it. Be obedient, maybe that could be a good title for tonight's topic.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I do want to encourage everybody in for sure is this: your God is so much bigger than we are.
Yes.
You know, and maybe here, and Brother Tavon, you said something very important. We got to stop saying words that sound like something.
Yes.
And start saying words that mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'll sit back and say, we'll say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But we're saying something and don't necessarily mean anything.
That's right.
Because we know it's acceptable dialogue and diatribe amongst people of God. Mm. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And hallelujah. And it's acceptable vernacular the way we talk to each other. But he didn't give us those words to talk to each other. He gave us those words to talk to the devil.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those are our weapons. Hallelujah.
He gave us these words to talk to the devil. That's why his word is spirit. These words are to talk to the devil. Then you'll always know they didn't fall to the ground. And so I want to encourage everybody, whenever you're in some kind of trouble, open your Bible, find a word. You don't have to find the right word for the circumstance, but you better use a word on that circumstance.
You can
repeat what the doctor said, or you could articulate what Jesus said.
You can
listen to what the landlord said. Or you can articulate what God said. I'll provide all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so I'm saying that because, again, I'm not saying words. I'm saying these are weapons against Satan.
It's it is.
Right? I remember, I can think back so clearly to my walk and the things that God revealed to me over time through my walk. And I remember the first time that I was worried about losing the job that had sort of taken me so far. And one of the managers said something to me at the time, and I was thinking, man, I could get fired, so forth and so on. This could happen and that could happen. What am I going to do? I'm highly invested in the house I just bought. What am I going to do if I lose that? Because every job don't pay what I'm making right now. Boy, this could be a problem. And I started thinking like that. And I noticed that when I started thinking like that, I started behaving a certain way. Fear was gripping my life without me knowing it because of the things I was saying to myself in my own mind. That's how powerful the word is. You can say it to yourself and it'll change something. So anyway, fear is gripping my mind. And so, I out of fear, I don't know if I should talk to the manager and tell him what's going on, or whether I should just shut up and sit over there because I don't want to aggravate them, until the Lord said to me out of the book of Proverbs, never have the righteous been forsaken, nor the clean begging bread. And
amen.
I thought about that, and I said, I wish I would sit here with that mentality. If God cancels this job, he's going to open up another job. Guess what? He sort of did cancel that job because the person that was managing me had issues with me that I didn't understand the issues because I was living right. I was loving. I was caring. I was doing all those things that the Bible had told me to do. And I'm thinking I'm doing something wrong and didn't take into account, you know, when you calculate your life, you pull out your calculators, try to add up what's going on in your life. I had missed one number in the calculation. The number was called envy.
Yes, your spirit was irritated.
I had calculated color. I had calculated height. I had calculated size. I had calculated car and vehicle. Maybe it ain't good enough for them. I calculated my work ethic. I calculated all that stuff, but I forgot to calculate in envy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the reason that he had envy was because all of the people that were my coworkers and colleagues in what I was doing were coming to me to ask me how to do what it was his job to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And you, yeah, I hope you get it. And I hadn't calculated that he was upset because they weren't going to him and they were losing confidence. And so he did cause me to lose my job. And here's how. The regional manager of that company saw what the people were doing and how they were gravitating, and he fired me as a salesperson and put me in as a manager.
Come on, hallelujah. All right now. Hallelujah.
So he did cause me to lose my job. But his envy ended up being picked up by the leadership, and they were going with, everybody goes to this guy anyway, let's go give him his own market, and his causing me to lose my job increased my income.
Yeah. Hallelujah. What the devil did for your evil, he turned it around for your good.
Amen.
Glory to God. So when I got out of that mindset, because my mindset was about to get me fired for real.
Right?
Fear kicked in, and I think that's why the Bible says fear has torment, because I was tormented. I was getting up in the morning going, maybe I should walk on the eggshells here because they might fire me. Maybe I should just, if he speaks and he's wrong, I shouldn't say anything because I'll get fired. And so that fear was tormenting my life until I realized, wait, you said never have the righteous forsaken. And I know I've been doing this the right way before you. I know I've been doing the right. I know I put it. Am I perfect? No, but I am perfectly trying every second, every minute, every hour of my day, every month, every year. I'm trying. I'm constantly improving on things. So why would I be in this position? And then it, just that quick, boom. They came and sat down with me. So I want to encourage us, right? Do not walk in fear. Don't walk in fear. Your God is bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than the doctor, bigger than the lawyer. He's bigger than the real estate agent. He's bigger. Oh,
that's
glory.
Man.
He's bigger than the government and the welfare check. He's bigger than the food stamp. He's bigger than the award because he's got the reward. He's bigger than that.
Amen.
Glory, glory.
You'll walk in this thing and then the light cuts on and can't nobody cut it off. As a closing statement, I was leaving the office going to grab lunch yesterday. And so I'm leaving the office. I got off on Fish Hatchery. Get off on Park Street, and as I'm coming off the Beltline, for those of you that live here, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm just getting up to the place where that just before you get to Burger King, and there was a car sitting on the side of the road coming off the highway, and it was sitting there with the hazard lights on, and I could see inside the car and saw a young Caucasian probably about 25, 26 years old. And so the light had me anyway, and I was, as just as I was looking at it, I'm going up, you know, I'm looking around to see if anybody's going to help him, and nobody's moving. I stopped my car. I backed up. I pulled over to the curb. I jumped out the car and walked up to the window and said, "Young man, you all right?" And he began to weep. I don't know what to do. The car stopped. I don't know what to do. He was that messed up because somebody gave him a car, but they didn't teach him how to steward over it. And he didn't know what to do with the car stopped and there's traffic behind him. And I said, "Oh, man," I said, "praise the Lord." I said, "Son, I guess that's why the Lord had me to stop." And so I said, "Here's what you're going to do. I want you to get in the car. I want you to put it in. I'm 71 years old. But I want you to get in the car. I want you to put it in neutral. I'm going to push you. And I want you to turn and park right in front of my car so everybody can get around you. That'll take a ton of stress off you." And before he got in the car, he turned around and looked at me, and he wept, and he grabbed me and hugged me like you wouldn't imagine.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
After he hugged me, the people behind him, watch what the love of God does. The people that were in the cars behind them that had been blowing, saying, "Get out my way," jumped out of their cars and came over and said, "Can we help?"
Glory to God.
We got the car over there. I said, "Well, you know what's wrong with it?" I was going to try to see if I could figure out what might be bothering the car and so forth, what made it stop. And he said, "No, I'm talking to my grandmother right now. She's sending somebody. I think I'll be all right." He said, "But thank you so much." I said, "No, praise God. There is a God, son, and he loves you." And just as I said that, all the people that had got out their car said, "This sure is a God. We saw it."
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your life is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the enemy blow it out. Keep your life, no matter what your circumstance. And I know it's hard to say sometimes, because sometimes the circumstance can feel so dire. You don't feel like light, you feel like you're on fire, but quench the fire. And turn the light on. Put on Christ. Verse 14 of the clothing. That's why he said this. Verse 14 of what we just read. Watch what I'm going to say. He said, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ to make not provision for your flesh." The fact that he said put it on means it's a choice.
Amen.
Jesus is in Christ. So therefore, you ain't going to lean towards your flesh. He's saying it's a choice. It's inside of your head whether you put him on or not today. Well, I put him on, and every place I go, I carry him with me. Because it's so easy for Satan to pull you out of your spirituality and drown you in your carnality. It's his response that he tries to do all day. Don't get drowned in your carnality. Put on Christ. Glory to God. I think it is just at that time, Brother Tavon. Wonderful. Let's give God a hand clap. Praise to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's glorious.
Thank you, God, for you.
The next week, Sister Hawanda is going to go through chapter 14.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then, Brother Tavon, you'll have chapter 15, right?
Yes.
And so I'm looking forward to what the Lord does with you all. And Donald, if you stay on here long enough, eventually you're going to teach too. Because if you've had any experience in life, you got a word in you. If you had any experience in life, there's a word in you.
Hallelujah.
If you've been through something, and you made it through, there's a testimony in you.
That's right.
You have to share those things, right? And be discipled into knowing how to share with people. So we look forward to you, Sister Hawanda, next week. And again, Brother Tavon, we thank God for what you did for us today.
Sister Hawanda, I would like you
to close this out in prayer, please. And we want to just send up a special prayer tonight. I'll start, you close us, please. I just want to send up a special prayer for my sister. Father, we thank you and glorify you. And we magnify your name and your goodness.
We
read your word, and as Brother Tavon said, and as Jesus said, and as the Bible says, the word cannot come back to this boy. So we're asking you to increase our knowledge, increase our faith, build up our most holy faith, that when we speak to the mountain will move. Build us where we've been torn down because the enemy has had way too much fun in our lives. Build us up to a place that we know that everything we speak is not falling to the ground, but is going up into the heavenlies of heavenlies, that you're receiving it with grace and mercy and wisdom and it's evolving and responding, and you're bringing about change in our life. And let us not be impatient until the change comes. Let us stand steadfast and immutable. So I'm lifting my sister up tonight because of her circumstance. She's going in for an operation. But how many of us know you are the physician?
The physician. Come on.
You're the one at the bed of sickness. You're the one at our current affliction. You are the one that said by your stripes we would be healed. And so we're asking you to perform according to your word. We're not demanding. We're not commanding. We're not going to even go, in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare.
Ooh.
Because we can't decree and declare nothing to a holy God. But we can ask with confidence, knowing that you're able to do that which we have put before you. So I'm asking you to touch every joint, every tendon, every ligament in her body. We're asking you to be in the room when they open up the body. We're asking you to touch the kidney. We're asking you to touch the spleen, the liver, the lungs, the heart. We're asking you to touch every working organ in the name of Jesus. And restore them to the way that you designed them to function, because they were designed by a word. And so we're speaking a word to the word and asking the word to come forth in the name of Jesus. Word comes in her body. Word do what it is that you were meant to do. Word open up doors. Word make humbly make them heavenly.
Hallelujah.
What the word does. We're not decreeing and declaring. We are demanding that you see your own work.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we'll be careful. We will be
cautious.
We also pray for KJ in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
When he speaks a word, the word that comes out of his mouth will be Jesus. The word that comes out of his mouth will be salvation. The word that comes out of his mouth will be a word so phenomenal that the doctors, just like the men that came to get Jesus, will have to fall back. The word is on
you.
And Father,
we
thank you. We'll be careful. We know who did what was done. Not the prayer, but the prayer answerer is important. We thank you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Close us out.
Hallelujah. We just say thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you. I dare not. I just touch and agree with the prayer that already went forth. I thank you that victory is already in the prayer. I thank you that breakthrough is already in the prayer. I thank you that deliverance is already in the prayer. I thank you that healing is already in the prayer. I thank you that the word is being manifested. Hallelujah. And the evidence will be made known. Hallelujah. So we just touch and agree. Hallelujah. That it is already done. Hallelujah. Knowing you as a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, once that word will never fall to the ground. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So we say thank you on one accord that it's already done. Hallelujah. And everybody here that has a request, a prayer request, a thought, anything in their mind, in their heart that they have up before you, I pray that your kingdom come and that your will be done in our lives like never before. Hallelujah. Not our will, but your will. Hallelujah. Yes, and give us the patience to wait
Hallelujah. And I pray right now that you remove the spirit of doubt from us right now. Hallelujah. Knowing that it has, there's no victory in doubt. Hallelujah. So I pray that love will fall fresh on us, because perfect love casts out fear. Hallelujah. And we know that Holy Spirit is all in the midst of love. Hallelujah. So help us to operate from a place of love, not just loving our neighbors as ourselves, as we won't accept ourselves as we have before, that we will line our life up with your word so we can give that perfect love, the word, the love that lines up with the word, so we can see ourselves the way that you desired us to see ourselves, so that we can see each other from a better aspect. Hallelujah. So I pray that you work on us. Work on us, work on us, work on us like never before. Keep us on the potter's wheel. Continue to make us and mold us in your likeness and in your image. Hallelujah. Continue to sweep away. Sweep away and allow us to reject those things that that are not of you and of your will. Hallelujah. 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 And I pray that you continue to give us the tools and the armor. Hallelujah. To fight this fight. Hallelujah. That we are not in alone. Just thank you for reminding us that we are not alone. Hallelujah. Even when our situations may appear that we are, I thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because we know where our greater comes from. We know where our help comes from, knowing that it all comes from you. And we just want to say we love you and we honor you and we don't take you for granted. Hallelujah. So continue to rain on us and wash us and cleanse us and purge us and make us new in you. Hallelujah. That we will wash out and wash out those things. Hallelujah. So we can give from a healed cup. Hallelujah. That healing will flow out of us like never before, that it, every atmosphere or every place that our feet trample, hallelujah, that that every spirit will come conducive unto Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that we won't even have to speak a word, that our presence alone, because of our light, the light that you placed on the inside of us, hallelujah, that it will shine and it will allow all darkness to be gone. Hallelujah. So we thank you that darkness has no dominion over us, that we will walk in the light. Hallelujah. We will walk in the light. We will walk in the light. And so we thank you for the light that you placed on the inside of us, and help us to continue to water the light. Hallelujah. As it is a seed, so it can shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. That it will not only shine in our homes, that our neighbor's home will light up. Hallelujah. That the neighborhood will light up. Hallelujah. 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 And that the light will turn on in our children and our children's children. And the light will turn on in our enemies and those who don't like us and that will despitefully misuse us. Hallelujah. So we thank you that you are a transformer, that you are transforming the minds of those who have the thought pattern of evil and wickedness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, we ask that you forgive them, for they know not what they do in this season. Lord. Hallelujah. And right now, we just hang on to your unchanging hands, because everybody might weeble and wobble and fall down, but we know that there's a solid foundation in you. And we thank you that you have never left us. Hallelujah. And that we can depend on you. Hallelujah. Thank you that you are a dependable God. Hallelujah. Thank you that we can depend on you. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we just say thank you. I thank you for the word that has went forth. I thank you for rightly dividing it to us, that a seed was sown on today, that we can allow that seed of love to begin to grow on the inside of us, so we love ourselves from the inside out. Hallelujah. Make us whole again, so that we can be free, because whom the Son set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. We desire to be free and whole. Hallelujah. And I just say thank you for everybody that's here, and thank you for everybody that didn't make it, but we just stand in agreement, and then we touch and agree with the word that already has went forth, and this prayer, hallelujah. And we thank you that it's done, hallelujah. We thank you that you're working it out for our good, hallelujah. So we just stand firm on your word, and I thank you for everything that you are doing in our lives and everything that you are about to do, hallelujah. We give you a right now praise for what you are doing and what you are about to do, and we thank you that it ain't what it looks like. It ain't what it looks like. That we won't be caught up on what it looks like. Hallelujah. Because we know that you are a behind the scenes God, that you will do some things from
Your ways is not ours. Hallelujah. So we won't get caught up on what it looks like. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that it's working for our good. And as we leave this place but not your presence, I just pray that you continue to minister to us and rest on us. Give us some good rest tonight. Hallelujah.
Yes,
let us rest in your love and your joy and your peace and all the good things that come from being your children. And I just say thank you again, because we can't
thank you enough.
Hallelujah.
Are there any closing thoughts before we walk away at 7:04? We've got about 3 more minutes. Any closing thoughts?
I wanted to say thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for that powerful prayer. You know, it's a blessing to be in
the
presence of ones that know how to pray.
Hallelujah. It's a blessing.
And I'm sitting here and I'm praising God and I'm listening to the prayer, and I agree with every word that he. When I say agree, I know we're done.
Yeah, so I'm glad.
I really believe it's done.
All those wonderful things just said
out her mouth has already been completed. It's already done.
Hallelujah.
So
fresh
love on one another. It's done. And I believe it. So,
Hallelujah.
My heart is different. It hit different when you know the truth.
Hallelujah.
So I'm grateful. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Any other closing thoughts? Thank you, Brother Tabata.
Yes. Thank you.
Hallelujah. All glory to the Most High God. Hallelujah.
I just want to say it's a pleasure to be on the line every week. Pleasure to be online with you guys every week. I'm missing the prayer line anytime. I'm trying my best to be on time when I get online and stuff. But some circumstances come up in my life.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother.
Better and better.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
And I just want to say thank you to all of you. I'm learning so much through your words and through the Bible. And I just want to say thank you, and God bless you, each and every one. And even those who could not make it tonight, bless you, each and every one. And I just want to say thank you. And my heart is so full right now.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead, Sister Wanda. Closing thoughts?
No, sir.
All right. We love you all with the love of Christ. This Bible study was meant for who it was meant for.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of God. He knows who's here. He knows what we needed to hear, too.
Yes.
And he's powerful. The last thing that I said in my prayer was, we're demanding. We're not demanding from God. We're demanding that Satan let go of God's people. Let go. You have a right to life. Jesus Christ said, I came that you might have life. Life more abundantly. Fight for it. Scratch, scrape, kick, jump, shout, praise, pray, whatever you read, but know that you have an abundant life that you're supposed to and walk in, and don't ever let the enemy deny you of it. So it's been a wonderful Bible study, Brother Tavon. Thank you so much.
Yes, it was. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, everyone. Tonight.
Good night. Good night. Love you all.
Good night. Love you all. Yes.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.